Thoughts on the Kingdom, Newness, Part 2. Now, to illustrate, to bring out this essential feature of the Kingdom, the newness of the Kingdom, to bring this out, I can't think of any better place than Mark chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Now, I know this is leaping ahead, as I did in a previous discourse, an earlier discourse. I went ahead to have a retrospect. Now, here we have the teaching of Christ by parables. And if you want a superficial reading of the Gospel, will show you that the Kingdom and parables are very closely connected in the teaching of Christ. Christ teaches the principles of the Kingdom by parables, very often. And here we have a couple of parables closely strung together. And whatever else they teach the newness of this Kingdom. John the Baptist has announced it, and he's shown in unmistakable terms it's a very different Kingdom to the old one. Now, these principles must be learned. So many people think that the Kingdom of Christ is really the same as the old political Kingdom or social Kingdom or military Kingdom, whatever, and the royalty Kingdom and all that kind of thing, and the old covenant buffed up. No, it's a completely, radically new Kingdom, new principles altogether. Repentance is at the start of it, and already be by the hint of regeneration. But let me come to Mark chapter 2, verses 21 to 22. Simple little stories on the surface, but what a weight of teaching. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. Old and new, you can see it. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Here we go again, old and new, whether it's cloth or leather. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins. Newness. This is the point here. The new Kingdom is not going to be the old Kingdom patched up like a dress with a tear in it. It's not going to be the old Kingdom to contain the new. No, the Gospel, the age of the Spirit, the coming of Christ, the new covenant, and the new Kingdom is so radically different. If you tried to hold it within the old Jewish system or some earthly system, some external Kingdom, it would just burst it asunder. It just can't contain it. How many people still try and do this? Think of the Kingdom of Christ in social, political, or military terms. It can't be done, my friend. This principle must sink in, and we must take it with us into the rest of this thinking and reasoning about the Kingdom. Whatever else the Kingdom is under Christ, it is not the same as the old Jewish Kingdom. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the new pulls away from the old, and the tear gets worse. New wineskins for new wine. Otherwise, the leather, if we put it into old leather, it'll just burst and you'll lose it all. What a simple story, isn't it? But how often it's forgotten. And so I lay it down as a marker. I'm only hinting at these things. They're so profound, though, and need to be worked out. When we come to the Gospel, when we come to salvation, when we come to the church, the ecclesia, and so on, when we come to the Kingdom, we're talking about something new that pagans won't recognize, the world doesn't know, Jewish system couldn't cope with. This is a new age and a new Kingdom and a new King, and we must be ready for it. Well, we'll move soon now, in the next discourse, to coming of this King and his announcement of the Kingdom. But please, I plead with you again. I repeat it, I know, but I repeat it purposely. Bear in mind, hold fast to this idea of newness.